New England system down at Tampa Bay, took what he liked, and incorporated it into the offense of the Buccaneers. Meanwhile, what you see with Belichick is the system really hasn't changed, only the personnel. It's just a matter of moving parts, like what works, what doesn't work, you know, both in terms of the offensive side of the ball and as well as the defensive side of the ball.
So Brady, agreed. I agree. I mean, there's really no winner in the argument, but in the end, I think we'd get a better chance of getting more Super Bowls by keeping Belichick than if we kept Brady. And I wish Brady stayed, but I do think that we're looking at potentially two more Super Bowls under Belichick with maybe Mac Jones.
Possibly, yeah.
And didn't Tampa have a highly rated defense?
Oh, they did. Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get talked about enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
so not hard to walk into. And let's. I agree with you. I mean, it was all Brady. I mean, Arians is a complete boob. The guy couldn't do anything with a standout team except for a QB.
Yeah.
And now he acts like he put all this together. And you're right. The thing I totally agree with you on is Brady's making the calls. I mean, it's all him. And Arians is just there for the ride. But in the end, maybe we missed out maybe on a Super Bowl last year. I don't know if the Pats would have done it.
Doubt it. Now with the roster that the Patriots had last season, no way. No way.
Yeah. So I think that goes with the question, which one would you choose? Well, if you kept Brady, you probably would not have won a Super Bowl. If you keep Belichick, we're probably looking at one, if not two more Super Bowls within the next decade.
And that's a very fair point, Tim. And Tim, thank you so much for the phone call, as always.
Great show.
Thank you so much, man. And to continue with Tim's point, his thing is, with Belichick, you at least have one more Super Bowl championship run in him within the next decade. I'd say within the next 5 years minimum. Because again, you draft Mac Jones at 15th, and it's becoming increasingly clear to me. How did Mac Jones fall all the way to 15 is just truly astounding. And look what he's been able to do with Mac Jones so far. Now, I'm not going as far as to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady to say that, oh, he's going to be the next Tom Brady. Just watch. Because there's only one Tom Brady in this universe. And there's only going to be one Tom Brady in the history of mankind. You're not going to see that again. Even after Belichick departs, because let's be honest, he's 69 years old. He's not going to continue to coach forever. You're not going to have another Joe Paterno-like situation in the NFL. That's not going to happen. Now, with that being said, going back to the question, right now, based on what's happening this season, would you prefer to have Brady as your quarterback or Belichick as your head coach? Remember, both individuals are no longer working together, so you have to pick one or the other. Feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. That's the number to call in. And we are going to take a break because it's now 6:03. We're officially entered hour number two of the program. So I want to step aside and take a break. When we return, coming up next, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the Boston Bruins and the weekend that was, and why one particular take from this past weekend really has irritated the daylights out of me. I'm going to tell you exactly what that was. Coming up next after the break here on the Shuker Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
About a little guy that lives in a blue world. world, and all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blew his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen to. I'm blue, I've a need, I've a die, 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 I've a need, I've a die. I'm blue, I've a need, I've a die, 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 I've a need, I've a die.
Welcome back to the Shukri Red Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to listen to the program wherever you are, however you may be listening. Much appreciated to the phone call we had during the last segment, Tim in Canton, Massachusetts, calling into the program. Sincerely appreciate my fans and people who call into the show to talk with me. And as we are, you know, getting furthermore into the second hour of the program, there's a couple of things I want to get to. I want to talk a couple of things about the Bruins, you know, touch on some of the Celtics as well, because I do have an interesting thought I want to share with you. It may elicit agreement, it may elicit anger, but either way, that's the point of radio, to inspire conversation. That's what it's all about. And the phone lines are open. Call me, hit me up at 855-915-WMFO. I promise you I won't bite. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Now, as far as the Boston Bruins go, listen, they won 2 out of 3 at the Western Canada swing. Great wins in Calgary. Good job winning the game in Edmonton the other night as well. I mean, that's coming off the heels of a disappointing loss in the shootout to the Vancouver Canucks, who, I mean, by the way, ever since they hired Bruce Boudreau, they've won 4 in a row. I think they're undefeated, as a matter of fact, under Bruce on Boudreau. So the Bruins return back home, and they got a game tomorrow night at the Garden against the Vegas Golden Knights. But that's not really the story. The story is conversations surrounding the Boston Bruins, and they've had a bit of a rocky couple of weeks, to say the least. One in which it elicited conversation from Bruin fans, including myself, that perhaps the Boston Bruins should absolutely consider moving on from Patrice Bergeron, which I absolutely couldn't believe that I was hearing. Like, are you serious? Now, Mike Milbury, former NHL on NBC analyst, who's currently not working, doing any games right now for either ESPN or TNT, he joined the Greg Hill Show on WEEI to talk about his thoughts on the current state of the Boston Bruins, and his thoughts were that, hey, maybe it's time to move on from Patrice Bergeron. And the problem that I have is this. I want to start with that specifically, because I did a little 2-minute video, or maybe it was less than that, on Twitter and whatnot. But now, being on radio, I have a full-blown opportunity to really say exactly how I feel about that particular sentiment. And even more so, I'm going to take it a step further. I have an even more deeper thought as to pertains to where the Boston Bruins currently are right now. Let's start with the Patrice Bergeron take by Mike Milbury. See, I'm going to do something here that is awfully difficult for a lot of Bruin fans in this region to do. That is, take my emotions out of my thoughts, out of my take, out of the conversation that I'm having with you. I want to do that right now. See, whenever there's a problem, we want to rush to try to extinguish the source of the problem. Well, let's get rid of this and let's get rid of that, and perhaps that'll start to solve the issues that there is, you know, existing, whether it be underlying issues or issues in the locker room and so forth. No big deal, right? Okay. So the thought that you would even remotely suggest, trade Patrice Bergeron. I'm sorry, excuse me? Now, my statement is not based upon the fact that, well, Patrice Bergeron is the face of the Boston Bruins. How dare you? That's sacrilegious. How could you dare recommend such a thing? No. Where I'm coming from is, Patrice Bergeron is not the reason why the Boston Bruins lack secondary scoring. I mean, with the exception of the last game in Calgary where you got that. You got secondary scoring, thankfully. And even in their win in Edmonton, they got secondary scoring. I mean, most notably from Matt Grizzlick and whatnot, and as well as like Charlie McAvoy. But the point is that trading away Patrice Bergeron does what exactly? No, seriously. I'd like for you to tell me, what does trading away Patrice Bergeron do for the Boston Bruins currently? Let's say, for example, Patrice Bergeron was available for trade tomorrow. Let's say hypothetically, now calm yourselves, Boston. Patrice Bergeron is not being traded tomorrow. Let's say if he was, what exactly does that accomplish in terms of the issues? Well, he can't stop pucks. Maybe he'll help stop a shot or something, but he can't be a netminder. Well, he can't be suddenly be dropped from the top line to a bottom six role, because you remove him from that spot on the top line. Who are you going to put on that top line to play alongside Marchand and Pastrnak? Please tell me. And if you traded him tomorrow, who do you honestly think you're going to get back in return? See, people like Mike Milbury are like shock jocks, if you will. He is nothing more than the classic shock jock of sports media trying to desperately grasp for attention that's not coming from anywhere else. That's exactly why he said that. Because for a guy who's a former Bruin and supposedly knows all things NHL, what does Patrice Bergeron getting traded away from the Boston Bruins accomplish? Well, it's time for a rebuild. Well, the rebuild is coming, no, regardless, you numbnut. It's going to come regardless. The Bruins are not, they're not exempted from the rule of life in sports. Rebuilds are part of resetting your organization. How you get there will determine whether you will be successful or you will be an absolute colossal failure. That's entirely up to you. But trading away Mike Milbury, oh no. Trade away Mike Milbury, as a matter of fact, that would help. Trade him away to the KHL in Russia and see if his hockey mind will be a welcome addition to a Russian hockey league that, you know, barely understands elephant turds like Mike Milbury for particular reasons that I can't even get into on the air. Let me know. Let me know how that works, please. If you want to call in, yes, you may. The phone lines are open. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. So when I heard that take in particular, my thought goes, huh? Sir, you go ahead and trade away your face of your franchise. And you tell me, where does the Bruins go from here? Please, enlighten me. Explain to me, please. I'm sincerely asking you to explain why would that even be a good idea. Now, if you turned around and said this, let's say, early March, the Bruins are well out of the playoff picture. Bruins are not making the playoffs. And again, I'm speaking hypothetically here. If the Bruins are far out of the playoff picture in early March as the trade deadline approaches, then and only then would I even remotely entertain that idea. Only then. Now? You got to be kidding me. Have I been frustrated with the performance of the Bruins so far? Yeah, I have. I've made that very abundantly clear on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. But the idea and the notion of trading away a guy who is still a number one center on a top line in the NHL, a guy who is still year in and year out, like a Selke Award finalist, it just blows my mind. But has there been concern about Patrice Bergeron? Yes. Yes, there has been. In fact, earlier this season, I raised concern about Patrice Bergeron. In the very next game, he scores four goals. And then Bruin fans go, see, there's nothing to worry about. What was that all about? Now, I understand. I understand where a lot of you would be coming from. However, if we can be honest with ourselves for just a moment, the Bruins have issues with this team. I mean, yeah, they played the fewest games in the NHL. And they're finally just beginning to find their groove. I mean, most notably, Linus Ullmark, who has recently begun to look like the goaltender that played extremely well in Buffalo last season as a backup goalie. He's looked like that recently. And you gotta give a little love to Jeremy Swayman as well. But the point is that the fact that Mike Melberry thought it would be a great idea to, hey, why not just trade away Patrice Bergeron? Yeah, no big deal. You just start to rebuild now. Not just yet. However, the issues that lie with this team isn't something that should cause one to say, hey, you know what? We should trade away Patrice Bergeron and see what we can get. That's not the end of your problems. The beginning of your problems start in the front office. Because this so-called GM in Don Sweeney has created more problems that it's not going to take just a one-year fix. It's going to take a 2-3-year fix to fix a lot of the undoings that Don Sweeney has done as general manager. That's just being real. Sorry. But Patrice Bergeron getting traded or being traded, the idea of him being traded away, That in itself shouldn't even be a topic of discussion, but here we are. Because some old schmo thought, well, it's time to be a so-called hockey sports media shock jock. Like, congratulations. Like, what exactly does that accomplish? What did you accomplish? Nothing. Except that you gave people reason to write about you, to talk about you. And that was probably your end goal. And you got your end goal, so congratulations. Now, you can do me and a lot of other people a big favor and just return back to irrelevancy, please. Go back to being irrelevant, please. Thank you. That would be greatly appreciated. Because the last time I checked, I don't think anybody really asked or cared for your idea of trading away a man who was literally define an entire era and generation of Boston Bruins hockey. I mean, if we're going to talk about giving ideas out, how about keeping the worst general manager in NHL history on the sidelines for quite a while? That'll be a pretty good idea. Yeah, I think that'll be a great idea. So much so that I think that if I were you, perhaps you would better be served not even recommending that asinine idea of yours that somehow, some way leaked out there into Bruins universe and even like social media that certainly did not go well. Coming up next, there's a major question that I do have for the Boston Celtics. And I think it needs to be asked. And it needs to be discussed. It's been a while since I talked some Celtics basketball, but that changes. That changes in just a few minutes. So stick around for that. If you got anything you want to talk about on your mind, Bruins, Patriots as they return off the bye, Celtics as they got a game tonight, call me 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
kisses of the sun were sweet. I didn't blink. I let it in my eyes like an exotic drink. The radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word. Just la 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 la. It goes around the world. Just la 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 la. It's all around the world. Just la 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 la. And everybody's singing la 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 la. And now the bells are ringing la 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 la. La 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 la.
Never judges. She's a true role model.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio. You can, in fact, talk to me at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the number to get a hold of me if you're trying to talk to me. I know, a little too punny. But nonetheless, it's been a while since I've talked some Celtics basketball on here, so I figure now would be a good time to do so, given that they have a matchup tonight against the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks at 7:30. So figured that there was a topic that I actually was listening to the local sports talk radio earlier today. Oh, wow. Yeah. Shocker. Sports fan who happens to have his own radio show happens to listen to sports talk radio. Yes, I do listen to radio myself. But I was listening to sports radio earlier today here locally, and there was a question that was brought up that I definitely think that we need to have more of a conversation about, because I find it that this organization has been circling around in circles for the better part of the last 3 years, almost 4 years now. And there's going to come a point where you have to make decisions that's going to be in the best interest of the Boston Celtics moving forward. And that is, can you win with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Give me your thoughts, Celtics fans, at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Because that's something that I feel like we have been seeing a lot of over the last 3-4 years with this duo. Tatum and Brown. We've heard about Tatum and Brown. Those are the two guys that's going to lead this organization to new heights. Yeah, they're going to be the next big duo to represent the Eastern Conference and the NBA Finals. Well, except to be the bearer of bad news, but that hasn't happened yet. And although we've seen over and over and over again the promise, and then seeing the talent, the offensive talent blossom for both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I'm led to believe that there is something very much missing from the picture that has not been there over the course of the last few seasons. Now, I want you all to really think about this for a moment. Tatum and Brown, you get to the NBA Finals in 2018. You fall one game short, and you had a 12-point lead in that fateful Game 7 against the Cleveland Cavaliers that featured some guy named LeBron James. You couldn't hold on to that 12-point lead in Game 7. And then 2 years later, in the bubble, you have Tatum and Brown again, at the forefront, leading the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat, You have the Celtics and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown leading the Celtics in the bubble to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat that featured Tyler Hero, obviously Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and company. And you hear reports about the yelling matchup between Brown and Marcus Smart. You hear that, and then you see the chemistry on the court, like, just not working as a cohesive unit. And then you had the issues from last season, like, on the court. Like, Kemba Walker can't stay healthy. And by the end of it, Gordon Hayward wasn't happy in Boston. And now, here we are with the Celtics having gone off to such a rocky start to start the season, and then going into that December 1st game in which Jaylen Brown reaggravated that hamstring and he missed 5 games before his return tonight. I can't help but to wonder the very question, and it's a question I'm going to pose out there to you Celtics fans. Is it time to blow it up? And part two of the question is, why are you so attached to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Why? Well, here's my take on whether if it's time to blow it up or not. My honest answer is yes, and I'm going to give you my reason in full right here, right now. My reason why, as the Boston Celtics should blow this thing up and trade both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, is this. Number one, you have seen more than enough between those two players in which that you realize, and you should realize by now, there's something severely lacking between those two in which that they don't know how to win. They don't know how to win in the NBA. Well, they need veteran leadership. They had that. They had that with Kyrie Irving when he was a Celtic, and I know how much of a pain of a rear end he was. But you had that with him. You also had that with Al Horford, but Al Horford is not really much of a leader. He's more of the quiet guy who just wants to stay out of everyone's way and not create any trouble in the locker room. That was Al Horford. Now, you look around the locker room and you're like, well, where's the veteran leadership? It's not the lack of veteran leadership that has me absolutely fed up with those two in particular. I'm talking about Tatum and Brown. It's the fact of how they carry themselves. It's about me scoring. It's about, you know, like padding the stat sheet with offensive stats. And you saw last season with Tatum, and you could remember when Mike Gorman went on Touch and Rich program in the city and absolutely blasted Tatum and blasted Brown. You heard it then. Now, if you watch this team on a nightly basis, and you look at this roster, and you're like, wait a minute, why are you still holding on to Tatum and Brown? Well, because those two are your best offensive players. There's no one's sitting here denying their offensive talent. No, I'm not doing that. There's no question that Tatum is one of the better players in the league right now. Yes, he is. No question. However, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, despite the fact that Tatum is averaging 25, a little more than 25.5 per game, and Jaylen Brown is averaging 21.4 points per game, that this is not a winning roster. This is not a championship roster. This is not a duo that you can win with. And I even mentioned a little while back, but I'm going to bring this up again right here, right now. You look at Tatum and Brown, and in more ways than one, in my opinion, they both represent what is the current generation of young NBA superstars. Some of which are hard to coach, and frankly, it's about them. Let me give you some examples of duos, young duos, in the league that are actually working, and what's the difference between them and Tatum and Brown? Here's an example. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. Why have they worked? Because Devin Booker is a guy who absolutely wants to get better. He's working to get better. It's not saying that Tatum isn't, but when you have veterans like for example, Chris Paul, and that helps them mature and grow and elevate their game. Of course, what you saw last June was an appearance for the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals for the first time since 1993. But you see something with that dynamic, with Ayton and as well as Booker. You want to turn back east? Absolutely. Go look at Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. There's no doubt those guys had to learn how to win. And also, it also helps to have a guy like PJ Tucker on that roster, and it's unfortunate he's no longer in Milwaukee. He's with Miami now. But Tatum and Brown, they haven't had that all season. They haven't had anything with the resemblance of such the last couple of years. Oh, but what about Marcus Smart? Marcus Smart is not even half the player that PJ Tucker is. Yet, he's the heart and soul of the Celtics. Why is he? And maybe that's the start of your problem. The fact that you have him as the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics right now is the beginning of your problems. If you want to dissect what's wrong with Tatum and Brown, be my guest. Call me at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. But the harsh truth is this. I'm at a point now where I am personally am ready to say, you know what? Brown and Tatum is available for trade. Who wants him? They'll go to the highest bidder. Who's the highest bidder? What return package do you have available for Tatum and Brown? Exactly. Because I'm truly tired as a Celtics fan and as an NBA fan of continuing to go around in circles in this perpetual cycle of, well, Tatum and Brown, they are the future. They are the future. How long are we going to continue to wait for Tatum and Brown to grow the hell up and become the leaders that they need to become? Oh, that's right. They don't know how to become leaders because they were never taught how to. Since they both came into the NBA, what veteran can you say that they played with that has showed them the ropes of how to win, how to lead by example, not just necessarily by, I can score 27 points or 44 points in a game and so forth. No. Do they know how to win? The honest answer to that is no. They don't know how to win. But yet, for some reason, Celtics front office continues to tell themselves, well, they're going to figure it out. At some point, they're going to figure it out. How sway? You look at this roster right now. You point to me one guy who could possibly do that. None. Jabari Parker ain't going to do it. And as Freedom, he's not going to do it. Like, I just named you a couple of veterans. They're not going to do it. Other than that, by and large part, this is a very young roster. Bruno Fernando, 23 years old. Sam Hauser, 24 years old. Romeo Langford, 22 years old. Aaron Nesmith, 22 years old. The oldest guy on this roster right now is Al Horford, who's 35 years old. And if you didn't learn before, you're going to learn again now. He was never that guy. So, yes, I'm on the train of Trey Brown and Tatum. Trade them. Because this organization needs a major reset. It's not working. It hasn't been working for a while. What is it going to take for Brad Stevens to realize that? Oh, by the way, he happened to be the head coach for all of the careers of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up until this season. It's not working on Causeway with those guys. It's time to blow it up and see what you can get in return for Tatum and Brown. If you don't want to start with them, then start with Marcus Smart. And I made my feelings very clear. I'm not a fan of the Marcus Smart contract. You're paying a guy how much money? Just under $20 million per season for a guy who's only averaging 11 points per game? I hated the contract then, and the contract looks even worse now. I haven't been wrong. I'm not a fan of Tatum and Brown at this point. I'm not a fan of the fact that those two are looked upon as the guys that's going to lead this team forward. They don't have an idea as to how to win, and you're suddenly expecting other players on this team that don't know how to win and don't know what it takes to win, and you think Al Horford is going to be that guy? Absolutely not. You're delusional if you think that. That's not going to be the case. But honestly and truthfully, it's time to move on from Tatum and Brown. It is. Coming up next, final thoughts. Right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
My fire, the one desire, believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart, can't reach to your heart when it's too late, but I
from the way that it used to be. Yeah, no matter the distance, I want you to know that deep down inside of me, you are my fire, the one desire.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, touch-free from radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. If you are in the area or listening or streaming nationwide on TuneIn, give me a ring. We only got about maybe 5 minutes left. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. And time for final thoughts on this Monday, December 13th, here at 91.5 FM WMFO. Now, here we are, and the Patriots are now officially in the home stretch. Questions still remain as to where this team will end up in terms of seeding in the AFC, and as well as what is the ceiling of this team? What is the ceiling of the 2021 New England Patriots right now? And I think it's a fair question to ask when you consider like how well they have been playing. Have they exceeded expectations? Absolutely, by leaps and bounds. But I also do wonder, at what point does this team hit a snag, if at all? Because the last thing you want to have happen is this team... Let's say they win out. Let's say they win the final four games of the regular season they have coming up. They got the Colts. They got the Bills. They got the Jaguars, and they got the Dolphins. Those are the final four games that they have coming up. Let's say they win out. They got the first round bye, and they lose to whoever they play in the divisional round. What happens then? What happens then? Because I do think that As well as the Patriots have been playing, one of the things that I am concerned about is that they peak too soon. And I think it's a question that you have to ask. Did this team peak too soon, or are they still peaking? They haven't hit their apex just yet. Because even at 9-4, with the number one overall seed in the AFC right now, I think that there are still questions that remains to be seen with the New England Patriots as we head into the final stretch of the season. One in which that is surrounding Mac Jones most particularly. Can Mac Jones continue to elevate and get better as the weather gets colder? That's the legitimate question that I think that is going to be put out there. I'm putting it out there now because I think it's a question that is worth being asked. The reality is none of us really know. We can speculate and say, well, maybe, yeah, he should be just fine. Like, he's played here long enough, but, well, how long is long enough? He's a rookie. He hasn't really played in cold weather games up until the Buffalo game. That was his first real cold weather game. But other than that, How will his play dictate what Bill Belichick does with the offense and Josh McDaniels do with the offense? Because I do believe that although they humiliated the Buffalo Bills with Mac Jones only throwing three total times the entire game, but at the same time, is that a viable and winnable formula come the postseason? That remains to be seen. And that's something for Patriot fans to think about as we move along into the final stretch of the regular season with four regular season games remaining before the NFL playoffs begin the weekend of January 16th. This show has been an absolute blast tonight. We had a phone call earlier, got into some really good discussion in regards to Brady versus Belichick. No, whether not the one where the question is whether do I think that those two will meet in the Super Bowl? No. The question being whether if I had to pick one, who would I prefer to have right now, whether it be Brady right now or Belichick right now? It's a really good conversation. Catch it on the podcast, on the Shukarites podcast. Subscribe. You can listen to it on iHeartRadio and all major podcast platforms. It'll be posted up momentarily after I get off the air. Look for it to be posted in about an hour from now. It's time to wrap it up. It's been a pleasure to be here with you this evening on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing off. I'll be back here again with you Friday night at a special time, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. You heard right. I'll be back here again Friday night from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I'll talk to you again at that time. Peace out. Have a good rest of your Monday night.